Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 14. This is the word of God. Listen to it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of our God shall abide forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I stand before you this morning kind of as the summer replacement series on a TV program. This is not the man you usually see in this pulpit. And you can already tell that that's the truth by the few little slips that I've made in the leading of the worship. So when you pray for wisdom, as you listen, pray for Chris wisdom as he preaches. Those of you who are familiar with this area know Mill Mountain Park. It's the place where the Roanoke Star sits on the top of Mill Mountain. And Ginny and I are newcomers to the area. We only moved here in September, having visited frequently our son and our daughter-in-law and our three oldest grandchildren. Yes, they are a magnet, and they have brought us here. And I really didn't understand or appreciate the Roanoke Valley until I went up on Mill Mountain. Stood under that big star that lights up at night that keeps the planes from going the wrong way. For as you stand at the overlook on Mill Mountain, you see to the south Salem, and to the east Vinton, and then Roanoke, and then to the north, if you want a clear day, you can see all the way to Bedford. And as this vista is laid out before you, you gain an appreciation for where you are. You're in a beautiful place, surrounded by mountains. And though the weather can be a little harsh at times, nevertheless, having come from Columbia, South Carolina, in the Congaree River Valley, where right now they're enjoying 100 degree temperatures and 90% humidity, I have learned wherever I am, therewith to be content. And we are content here. And you should be too. In the same way, Paul's letter to the Ephesians is begun with a prologue, the passage that I've read for you this morning. And it's only appropriate that Paul begins with praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? That's why it's called a service of worship. It's not called a service of education, much less a service of entertainment, contrary to some popular beliefs promulgated in America about what Sunday services are about. We're here to to praise God. We are taught in our Shorter Catechism, our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That great text that was quoted in Sunday school this morning, "For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever." In our text this morning, Paul begins with praise and ends with glory. Boy, you can't bookend a book of the Bible better, in any better way than that. It begins with, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and it ends with, "to the praise of his glory." So that's why we're here this morning. But not only to glorify God, but to enjoy him. And Paul gives us much in our text this morning to enjoy. So if you don't enjoy the sermon, at least enjoy the scripture reading. Because Paul says here that this God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this God whom he calls in 2 Corinthians 1, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, Paul tells us, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, congregation of Christ, I want you to listen for just one thing this morning. That you are to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, to the praise of his glory. That you, yes, you have something to do on Sunday. It is to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to the praise of his glory. Let's see how we can unpack that. Your salvation, you see, is the work of the triune God. Did you follow the Trinitarian character of the passages here this morning? By the way, just a little pulling back of the veil regarding the service tonight. In some of the hierarchical liturgical churches, they have a Sunday called Trinity Sunday. We don't follow the church calendar like that, but based on Ephesians 1 and John 14, this is going to be a kind of a Trinity Sunday. And based on our Sunday school lesson this morning, I couldn't have been set up for success any better than chapter 2 of the Confession of Faith regarding our triune God and chapter 3 regarding his eternal decree. The first thing we see here is that your salvation is the work of the triune God. It is the work of the Father. Notice verses 3, 4, and 5. And by the way, this ugly mug isn't much to look at. So when I refer you to the book, look down. You don't have to look up. I'll understand that you're still with me, okay? Your salvation is first of all the work of the Father. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Here we have a Father who looks upon us in love, indeed, who looked upon us in love from all eternity. What does Jeremiah the prophet say in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. It's as the hymn writer says, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit sent down from above, you have taught me, it is so. This is why Paul, first of all, blesses the triune God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because look at the verbs, by the way. Grammar is very important to me. I didn't always think so. It was kind of beaten into me by my 8th grade English teacher. You probably don't remember your 8th grade English teacher. I remember mine. I remember Warriner's English composition. Now why at the age of 68 would I remember such a thing? Well, my English teacher had been the matron of honor at my mother's wedding. And so when I didn't do my homework, it wasn't you on a bad grade. It was, do you want your mother to hear about this? So grammar grabbed me. And I want the grammar to grab you this morning. Listen to those active verbs. He blessed us. He chose us. He predestined us. He freely bestowed on us. Do you hear the free grace there? We have just passed through the 400th anniversary of the publication of the canons of the Synod of Dort. It was in May of 1619 that they protected the gospel from the earliest liberalism that the Reformation knew. They protected the doctrine of free grace. It is, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Paul couldn't pack any more negatives into two verses there in order to make abundantly clear where salvation comes from and where it does not come from. It is not of ourselves. It is not by works. And so he begins in that this selfsame epistle with our salvation is the work of the Father, but it is also the work of the Son. And here we must stress a very important point. And again, grammar helps us here. If you just count the number of times that the text says, in him, and you know, you start, or in Christ, or of Christ Jesus, or of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's almost in every verse of our text this morning. You can't miss it. It is the work of the Son, uniquely and particularly, that enables us to be saved. It is just as Jesus said in the text we're going to read this morning. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So these former idol worshippers who used to bow down to Artemis of the Ephesians, the goddess of the hunt, are now called saints in Christ Jesus. John Murray, in his great little book that I would commend to you, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, in about the 8th chapter, has a chapter called Union with Christ. And in that little chapter of that little book, Murray makes clear that from eternity to eternity, it is our union with Christ which saves us. We were predestined in Christ. We were chosen in him. God's grace was freely bestowed on us in the Beloved One. God sees us from eternity to eternity as joined to Jesus, so that he has become for us bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We are linked to the Lord. We are connected to Christ with vital union by his Spirit, which leads me to my third subpoint. This salvation is also the work of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 13 and 14. In him you, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit here is called the Holy Spirit of promise, the promised Holy Spirit. This is a reference back to Pentecost, which is in turn a reference back to the post-resurrection appearances of our Lord. He said, if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. I will send another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. So it is from eternity to eternity. There is a keen sense in which God never looks at you apart from Jesus Christ. Beloved, we are tempted to look at ourselves as inadequate, as weak, as infirm, as fallen, as failing, as feeble, as frail, as fragile. And so we are. As I stand up here with you, I lean on this pulpit from time to time because I too feel it. And yet you need to understand how God sees you this morning. He never sees you apart from Jesus Christ. It is why Wesley could write in that great hymn, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head, and robed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." What do you see when you look in the mirror? I look in the mirror, it's not much. When God looks upon us, he sees the image of his Son. He sees Jesus. Is this not a reason to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the way, this sermon is kind of a commercial for Sunday school. I'm teaching the book of Ephesians every other week, so if you like what you hear, come back. By the way, adult Sunday school is a lot of fun. I really appreciate what our elders are doing with it. We get quite a delightful smorgasbord of Philippians and the Westminster Confession of Faith. And just as Ginny and I brought a salad to the fellowship supper, we bring a little something from Ephesians to the Sunday school. So as they say down here, y'all come. End of commercial. This salvation is not only the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a work that is all of grace from eternity to eternity, from start to finish. Notice, it was appointed for you in Christ from all eternity. Notice the first part of verse 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Notice the first part of verse 5. He predestined us. Notice verse 11, which we talked about this morning. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, this is not some cold fatalism, beloved. The reason I read from the New American Standard this morning, and I asked pardon of those who were confused by my reading from a different translation than that advertised in the bulletin. But did you notice how they translate both in verse 5 and verse 9? It is according to the kind intention of his will. God is not only almighty, he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin to 1,000 generations. This is your God. And they translate it the same way in verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. That's why the Apostle Peter says, "You have tasted of the kindness of the Lord." Does this not cause you to well up in your heart and say with Paul, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ"? It's as the hymn writer says, "I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I who found you, Savior true. No, I was found of thee. I am so glad that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Or I would be lost. When God found me, I was a beer-drinking, woman-chasing frat boy in a small private college on the eastern shore of Maryland. And God loved, so loved, that he brought someone from my state, from my region of my state, out of the same apostate church background that I had grown up with, into the same fraternity, onto the same fraternity football team, and parked him across the hall from me on the top floor of the fraternity house. Now that's what you call providence. He moved my soul
to seek him, seeking me. That will be 50 years ago next year. And I don't stop a moment. I dare not hesitate a moment to think what I might have been apart from that predestinating, sovereign, saving grace. But it was not only appointed for you in eternity, it was accomplished for you in history. In him, he says in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon him. We read in the book of Hebrews, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But we also read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 4, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Great Trinitarian verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, John says in 1 John 1:7, cleanses from all sin. Not much sin, not more sin, not many sins, but from all sin. Praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God was not satisfied, as Dr. Van Til has spoken of it, simply to put a life-giving potion on the top of a closed casket that has a corpse in it. Van Til, in his illustration, likens the whole work of the Holy Spirit in applying salvation to that potion. No, God, as it were, lifts the lid of the casket and pours the life-giving potion into the lips of the corpse so that he lives again. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And understand, you need to understand verse 13, because in a lot of translations it's difficult and you can miss it. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's the main verb. Again, let the grammar grab you. The dependent participles, having heard and having believed, are dependent on the main verb. You were sealed. Why did you believe? Because you were sealed. And by the way, the word there, arabon, is the word that was used in the Greek marketplace for down payment. In some contexts, it has the same significance as an engagement ring. It guarantees what is promised to the end. So that you who have been sealed with the Spirit will, as Paul says in verse 14, will see in your own hearts and lives the redemption of God's own possession. You are now possessed by God. God possesses you, and you possess God. Why? Because you were sealed in Christ to God. And nothing can separate you from his love. You know that great pan of praise that Paul says in Romans 8. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yea, rather, who was raised from the dead, who sits at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul concludes there, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see the phrase there? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Having been joined to Jesus, having been connected to Christ, having been linked to our Lord, having been sealed with his Spirit. It is why our shorter catechism talks about, in its answer to the question, what benefits do believers receive at Christ's death? Answers it something like this. Their souls do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies still connected to Christ. Yes, even in the grave, you will still, your body will still be connected to Christ. Await the resurrection of the dead until that day. Nothing, not even death, can separate you from his love. If we were Pentecostals, I would say, somebody shout hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Returning to my beginning illustration, if you could see from Mill Mountain, perhaps as an eagle can see, as it wafts on the wind, riding the thermals, and you were to fly north and east up to Bedford, you would come to a place known as Poplar Forest. It was Thomas Jefferson's hideaway retreat when Colonel Bannister Tarleton of the British Army was seeking Jefferson's head. It's where Jefferson hid. And it is an eight-sided house designed by Jefferson himself. And from, as you walk in the front door of that eight-sided house, you see immediately directly ahead of you a door that leads into a dining room that is lit by a skylight overhead and is a perfect cube. This is the place where Jefferson would dine and commune with his most trusted and loyal fellow leaders. And it was so secret that there was a dumbwaiter in it, because Jefferson did not want any servants serving food when they were discussing the future of the American Republic. In the same way, Paul holds out for you here an eightfold salvation. Just as Poplar Forest has floor-to-ceiling windows that Jefferson specifically designed so that 12 months of the year in every season, light would flood in every hour of the day into one of the rooms. So you are called, as you read this text this morning, to see that from every way you look, in every direction, from your union with Christ, from eternity in history to eternity, whether it is your justification, your adoption, your sanctification, your preservation, your perseverance, everywhere you look is grace. And we'll study that further in Sunday school. Enough on that for now. We'll get into every room of that house by the time we're done, as it were. But lastly, why has God done this? Why a plan from eternity, arranged in eternity, accomplished in history, applied personally, arranged by the Father, Son, and Spirit, accomplished by the Son, applied by the Spirit? Why? Paul tells us in verse 6 and verse 4 and verse 10 and verse 12 and 14, it is for the praise of his glorious grace. Verse 6, which he freely bestowed on his beloved. And as verse 14 says, to the praise of his glory. What is your primary purpose in life, beloved? Why are you here? What is to be your focus? Your eye should be single to the glory of your great triune saving God. Not only on Sunday morning, not only on Sunday evening, but every hour of every day, there should be something in our hearts. Yes, even in our troubles, even in our distresses, our discouragements, even in our depression, we should cry out with the psalmist in Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You should cry out with the psalmist, as we did in our call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who crowns your life with steadfast love and faithfulness, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I will end where I began. One thing Paul wants us to get from this text, at least, that you are to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely bestowed on you in the Beloved One. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and bring you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, both now and evermore. Amen. Let us pray.